to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom, a new week, a new fresh start for your week. And God just cleared the chalkboard of all your past so you feel absolutely free in everything you're doing. Isn't that marvelous? The only thing that God wants from you is to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's so important to Him. And that's why He had Jesus quote that in Matthew 22 in the New Testament, because that's an Old Testament scripture. But that's the most important scripture for the Jewish people is Deuteronomy 6:4. It's called the Shema. And so we understand that God wants to love us as much as we can't possibly love Him as much as He loves us, because His love is unconditional. Our love is conditional. If somebody's nice to us, then we love them. If the dog is nice, if the dog poops on the floor, then we don't like him. That kind of thing. It's just an emotional back and forth. So, excuse me. You can tell it's the beginning of a week. So you become a blessing to others by allowing Jesus to work in you and through you. And His life is the best life there is. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's do our Monday slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. New life, friend. New life. It is the Word of God. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I want to announce our monthly fellowship takes place this Saturday, and that is June the 13th, with brunch at 9:30 and the meeting at 11 o'clock. In July, we're going to change things up, not have breakfast or brunch, and just have lunch on the patio. But that's not this month. This month, we're going to still hold to those times of 9:30 at the restaurant and 11 o'clock at the meeting. And we'll be singing patriotic songs in honor of our citizenship in the United States. I know a lot of bad's going on, but I believe more good is going on that we don't hear about. And you who are listening, you are friendly with your neighbors. You are forgiving with those who have offended you. So I know that we're growing in the Lord. We truly are. So if you would like to come, you make reservations at the restaurant by calling me at 1-877-917-7256. And Jimmy will give that to you at the end of the program. But I hope you'll come. Saturday is so fun. June the 13th, this next Saturday. Our memory verse for this week is 2 Timothy 2:15. I just got this straight from the Lord as I was asking Him, oh, what kind of verse shall I use for this next week? And it's 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself or self-approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of God. We are, who are of the older generations, learned this New Testament scripture from the King James Version. And here it is in the King James Version. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the important thing here, friend. The word of truth. You are a person of truth. You no longer exaggerate. You no longer even lie, tell untruths, falsehoods. No, you don't do that. And when you do, and God is so forgiving. When you do and you say, I'm sorry, Lord, that was a slip, or that, you know, I didn't mean or intend to do that. And He will be in His mercy forgiving and go on to the next until you have made a habit of not going into those areas that you used to go in. It's like brushing your teeth. You have to form that habit every day. Every day, you know, it's good for your teeth. So the Message translation in 2 Timothy 2:15 is, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Work hard is recognizing Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's what working hard is. Yes. And loving your neighbor as yourself, of course. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. Ah, so good. So good. Always be eager to present yourself before God as a perfect and mature minister. You say, well, I'm not a minister. Oh, yes, you are. You are an influencer in your circle. You are an influencer in your Bible study, in your home, in your family. You are an influencer. And I want you to know that. We're all ministers called by God to spread the good news. And some of us do it in a different way than others. But that is still from the Lord. Praise God. Praise his wonderful name. Oh, it's just so wonderful to know him. Oh, this weekend, it was fun. I was out in the yard a lot. In fact, I got a burn on my neck from pulling the weeds and everything. But it's just such a great privilege and honor to obey him, isn't it? If you know the Lord Jesus, yes. It's just getting easier and easier to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Not your will, but mine be. I mean, not my will, but see, that was our fleshly. Not your will, but mine be done. That was our fleshly quote. But when we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, then it becomes not my will, but yours be done. Oh, I must apologize. Yep, I'm going to apologize to you. I don't do that very often. I do. Sin. Yeah, I do. Wrong thoughts, wrong motives. But I must apologize and backtrack from what I said a few weeks ago. You may see me as dipping and swerving in my political thoughts and motives, but here it is. I mentioned that I would be going to vote for Victor Marx for governor, and they are going to mail out ballots this week. So that election is coming up, the midterm. So what I have told you over and over, when you are faced with a decision, you examine the subject, you question, you discern, and you investigate what you're going to be involved in. I didn't do that. I didn't do what I was preaching to you to do. Oh, I should have. I went on that old adage, if they're a Christian, then they should be qualified. And wow, that does not mean that. A lesson learned. And I'm going to explain further. Last week, I watched the debate between Victor Marx, Barbara Kirchmeier, and Scott Bottoms. I was shocked and disappointed when Victor was asked pertinent questions and he couldn't answer them. He couldn't. And when the three of the candidates were asked if they would give Tina Peters a full pardon, Victor was so ignorant that he said President Trump will pardon her, not knowing that President Trump can't do anything on the federal level for her. And that's why he couldn't get her out of prison before this, long before this, that he wanted to, because it's a state issue. And so Victor didn't even know that. And Barbara Kirchmeier, now I hadn't heard from her. I was talking to a friend up in Weld County, and he was saying, oh, I'm going to vote for Barbara Kirchmeier. And so I had to call him and apologize to him this last weekend and say, I'm sorry, the candidate that I was talking about, he said, yeah, he's really questionable, isn't he? I said, yes, I'm so sorry. So I am going to vote for Barbara. So Barbara, on the other hand, and not because we have the same name, excuse me, on the other hand, has been a part of Colorado politics for almost 30 years, gang. She is qualified and endorsed by former Governor Bill Owens, the last really good conservative governor we had that held office in Colorado. So I'm going to vote for Barbara Kirchmeier. Scott Bottoms had some good points, but turning this state around is going to take a strong, knowledgeable person with experience. Again, I apologize for not following my telling you to investigate and question decisions that you're going to be making. I wish the very best for Victor Marx, but I can't vote for him. Mm-mm. You're going to be receiving your ballots, as I said before, so look them over carefully. This is so important, folks, and if you can get together with someone else who is really political, you may be politically savvy, but if someone else, you may know a little bit more. That's what I do. I go to other people when I don't know who I want to vote for or what I want to vote for. So remember that as you receive your ballots, you're going to investigate, you're going to question, you're going to look into something. As I talked to several people this last weekend, I realized that they're confused about what happened before and after the cross. My friends, we need to be astute not only in our spiritual circles, but our friendships apart from church. That's why I've selected 2 Timothy 2:15 for our verse for this week. As members of the household of faith, we must rightly divide the Word of God, correctly explaining the history part of the Word as well as the spiritual implications. We find out rather quickly that God of the Old Testament does not do things the way he did in the days of Noah and Isaiah, Jeremiah and Daniel. What has changed all of that? In the new covenant that you're living in, know that you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit was working around you to bring about God's miracles. He was working around you, never in you, in the Old Testament. Of course, there were great ones like David that Holy Spirit was just hovering over him. But Holy Spirit came into us after Jesus was resurrected from the cross. And in the New Testament, Holy Spirit is working in you. I believe that there is great confusion about belief systems. There's one segment of the body of Christ that believes they have to work or perform to get to heaven. And then there's the grace crowd who believes that Jesus paid it all when he said, "It is finished," that he did everything to bring about salvation, redemption, righteousness, and sanctification into our lives. Now, these words may seem big, but if you take them apart, redemption, redeeming. He's a redeeming God. What did he do through Jesus Christ? He ransomed us from the enemy. He paid the price. When you have someone is kidnapped, you pay a price for them, and it's called a ransom to get them back to you. Well, God wanted us back when we were sinners. When you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And so he's paid. Jesus Christ paid the ransom for you. And that's what redemption means. Righteousness, right standing with God. That's what it is, righteousness. And sanctification is a sanctifying process in your lifetime. So when you break down those words a little bit, they're not as complicated as, whoa, those are big words. No, they're really not. Luke 5:35 tells us about these changes when Jesus gives them this illustration. And this was before his disciples and the people who were following him. And this involves the old and the new. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. That's true. I used to patch the girls' pants when they fell or they were roller skating and they got scratched up. Jeans did, and I tried to patch some new patches on their old worn jeans, and pretty soon they came off. So that happens when you put a new patch on an old garment. It won't stick. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins, new revelation. Those new wineskins, Jesus is talking, and he's saying they are representative of new revelations, new wineskins, new revelation. Verse 39 of Luke 5 says, "But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. This old is just fine," they say. You know why? Because we get so comfortable in our familiar. We don't want to change. We don't want to get into a whole new set of what you call rules and regulations, which aren't. It was for freedom that Jesus set you free. So when they say, "Oh, the old is fine," you've heard people say that over and over again. I've heard people say that in my lifetime. "Oh, the old is just fine. I can do with the old." Well, that's what so many of the old orders say today. The Old Testament is fine and I will follow it. Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not, but someday the groom will be taken away from them and then they will fast. Verse 16 of Luke 5 says, "Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? Who would do that? And for the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before." That's true. and verse 17, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure. I know, when you get filled with Holy Spirit, I remember when Dave Duell prayed for my husband John at a restaurant, and John received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he came home speaking in tongues. I mean, I should have locked him up for 6 months, because he was just having a great time. He was bursting, and that's what it says here. They're going to burst. If you put new wine into old wineskins, it's going to burst those skins. Now, the new wine is the new covenant, and it's stored in new wineskins, the new revelation, and both are preserved. Jesus' teachings and the new covenant of grace could not be contained within the rigid structures of the old religious system, particularly the Pharisaic traditions. The old wineskins represent inflexible religious practices, legalism, or hardened hearts, while the new wine symbolizes Jesus' message of love, grace, and spiritual renewal. Just as old wineskins cannot hold fermenting wine, right traditions cannot fully embrace the transformative power of the gospel. Oh, and that's a beautiful, that's from the New Living Translation of Luke 5. I want to read that again. Just as old wineskins cannot hold fermenting wine, that's the new wine that we're talking about, the baptism of Holy Spirit, rigid traditions cannot fully embrace the transformative power of the gospel. Some of you may ask, well, why don't you speak in tongues on the air? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 14 that if you do that in front of people that are unfamiliar with what's going on, they can't understand you. No, Holy Spirit is bringing a new language for those believers who are unified and also anointed to listen to Holy Spirit's message in tongues and receive it and give glory to God. So I do this all day long. I really do. When I'm weeding, when I'm at the grocery store, up and down, I'll bet people look at me and say, what is she doing? What is she talking about? Oh, because I'm talking to him all the time. And especially at night, when I crawl into bed, I'm free to just really talk to him. So it's a wonderful relationship. Oh, it's just such a blessing to see that Holy Spirit is working in me. And I know that in my weakness, God's strength is made powerful. Praise the Lord. Well, before the cross, the message was, you know what the message was before the cross? Old Testament, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And it carried through even to the denomination that I was a part of. We grew up saying, you shall not do this, and you shall not do that, and you shall not wear this, and you shall not eat this. And it got to be such a drain. And then they wondered why young people were leaving the denomination. It's because they were living off the old covenant, not the new covenant, which is freedom. Oh, praise God. So thou shalt not was Old Testament. And now, because of God's mercy and grace, it's I will. I will. I will do this for you. See, God is doing a work in you, and he's enjoying it. In the old covenant, God did not allow the people to come near him at Mount Sinai, only a select few. But for the general public, God was off limits. Loving the Lord with all their hearts and souls and minds was the apex of learning about God in the Old Testament. But it was from being alienated from the presence of Holy Spirit. Now that Holy Spirit's in us, we say, oh, yes, Lord, I love you so much. I will love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And that's so beautiful to know that he's given you that love and that joy and peace that can love him back. Oh, God does everything, folks. He does. In the New Covenant, Hebrews 8:8-10 tells us, and this is quoted from Jeremiah 31, whoever the author is of Hebrews, for if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second one or an attempt to institute another one, the new covenant. However, God finds fault with them, showing its inadequacy. Okay, for instance, this Old Testament was perfect. It was perfect according to the character of God. We couldn't obey because we couldn't do all of the law. Over 600 laws. And so that's why it was inadequate for us. And he had to choose something that in our flesh that we could get into and be able to accomplish. Praise God. Hebrews 8:8-10. I'm going to read it in fullness here. Behold, the days will come, says the Lord, when I will make and ratify a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not abide in my covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will imprint my laws upon their minds. Here it is, folks. Even upon their innermost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts, affecting their regeneration. That's the working in him. He's operating in us and fixing us up, getting us good. It's like a total rehab of a house. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it will not be necessary for each one to teach his fellow citizen, for all will know me by experience and have knowledge of me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful and gracious toward their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. That means that even when we're wicked, while we are yet sinners, he forgives us, folks. For I will be merciful and gracious toward their wickedness. He knows that we've all sinned and all come short of the glory of God. We're now in the family of God, I was just telling you last week. And we will be in that family of God, never depart. But some of us think that we still are sinning so much we cannot even face God. God says, I won't remember your sins anymore. I won't remember your sins, so come to me even in your sin, and I will forgive you. Look up John 1, 1 John 1, verse 9. Oh, so good. So God speaks of a new covenant, and he makes the first one obsolete. And whatever is becoming obsolete or out of use or annulled and growing old is ready to disappear. That's what happened as he wrote Galatians. It was a tutor for us, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Those are the first things I learned as a little girl. And then came the other things that followed. And the new covenant then gives us the wonderful opportunity. Love others, love God, be free, because he's given us those promises. It's performance and dutiful obedience in the Old Testament and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in the new covenant, and beginning to recognize Holy Spirit in your life and allowing him to work in you. See, folks, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You know what I need to do? The only thing that God wants me to do is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a marvelous thing to know? And we know that we can run with God. We can walk in the path of his righteousness because we are now righteous with Jesus. Here is a song, and it is from Psalm 119, a song that I used Lawrence to do the intro and outro for the program Call to Freedom. And he used the beginning of this song for the intro and outro. So you'll find it interesting. God bless you.
Wisdom. Revive me, Lord, today. Give me understanding. Teach me, Lord, your ways. Make me walk in wisdom. Revive me, Lord.
Give me understanding, Lord. Teach me your ways. Let me walk in wisdom. Oh, praise God. It's so wonderful to know that we can run in the path of his commands because he set our spirit free. Oh, friend, you're free. If you love Jesus, if you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord today, you are free from all that bondage. You are no longer yoked as a slave, no longer to the darkness, the world in darkness. And it's such a blessing in this day and age when we need security all around us. We need, so much protection and so many things. We need alarm systems. Oh, everybody's got an alarm system and a ring at their door. Oh, my goodness. When something happens, I mean, loads down this up and down the street have cameras that they can give to the police or to officers that have been involved in an accident. So it's a world that is fearful. And I want you to know, we're going to talk about tomorrow a little bit about the inheritance that God has given to us. The beautiful opportunity of tell our brothers and sisters how much he loves them. If you can only get that out when they go, ah, I don't want to hear about it. I just want you to know God loves you. If you just give him that much, that's so important. It's a seed that's been planted inside their hearts. And every human being has a God-shaped vacuum, and they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, it's been so good being with you today. God bless you and keep you. Remember the meeting on Saturday. Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in